All right, Jabal Said, good morning. Let's begin. Today's daf. Today is Pei Beis. Perfect. Shkoach. All right, Jabal Said, good morning. Today's daf is Pei Beis. Our shir today is sponsored by Seidon Simahaken in honor of the engagement of Shira Lerner to Shmuley, what's Shmuley's last name? Burglass. To Shmuley Burglass, and Amir Hashem, we should all be Zocha to see Nachas from our children and to see beautiful Simcha and Klal Yisrael. Amen. All right, Shikoach, thank you for the sponsorship.
Wow. I want to give him a hug, but I want to start.
You can run across, just not in front of the camera, All right. Ah, look at that. Beautiful. Moshe, you gotta zoom in on those things. Turn it around. It's like this is like reality daf. Everything unfolds over here. All right, Moshe, let's continue. So we left off on Pei Beis and Madaf. So we'll say just to reorient ourselves a little bit, because today's actually a very interesting Gemara. So remember, again, we had a fundamental machlokes yesterday between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Well, it wasn't just between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, but we ended up framing it as a machlokes Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish regarding the laws of Bittul, how the mechanics of Bittul. Now, I just want to point out, this, of course, in Yevamos, this is not the primary sugya of Bittul, of nullification of mixtures. That, of course, we'll get into extensively in our journey through Maseches Chulin. But here, the Gemara is raising a very interesting point, which is the concept of Es Shadarko Limnos or Kol Shadarko Limnos. Here's what everyone agrees on, which is, if something is exceptionally significant, it is not a bottle in a mixture, even if you have many other parts in the mixture. So the question is, what determines significance? So in this particular situation, Rabbi Yochanan holds, let's start with Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish holds Kol Shadarko Limnos, which means any item that is sometimes reckoned as its own individual entity, meaning it's not necessarily always sold as part of a collective group, but very often is sold as an individual unit, that gives it a chashivus, and therefore, again, will prevent it from becoming bottle within a mixture. Rabbi Yochanan, on the other hand, holds Es Shadarko Limnos. So Es Shadarko Limnos means an only thing that is considered to be chashev is something that is exclusively reckoned as an individual unit, is never sold as part of a larger group, and therefore, because of its chashivos, it is not bottle. So the Gemara quoted a braisa, and in this braisa, the braisa brought down two cases. Case number one was the case of chaticha shel chatas tameya, so a piece of chatas, carbon, that became tamei, that was mixed in with 100 pieces of chatas tahora. And the Gemara gave another case that was exactly the same as that, of a piece of lechem aponim bread that was tamei, that got mixed in with 100 pieces of lechem aponim bread that were tahor. So in that situation, the braisa said, Ta'ale. Because there is a 100-to-1 ratio, therefore the Tamei Chatas and the Tamei Lechem Aponim are bottle in the mixture to the Tahar Chatas and the Tahar Lechem Aponim. That was case one. Rabbi Huda disagreed in that case. He said it's not bottle. Case number two was a piece of Chatas Tahora that got mixed in with 100 pieces of Chulin meat and a piece of Lechem Aponim Tahora or Tahar that was mixed in with 100 pieces of tar chulin bread. In that case, the braisa said what? Divrei hakol lo ta'ale. Everyone agreed that it's not bottle. Now, Rabbi, so the way we explained it yesterday is, in that second case, the reason why it's not bottle is because, again, there's no real reason to rely on the laws of bittul. Why? Because what's the worst case scenario in case number two? Right? A Yisrael can't eat it, but a Kohen could eat it. Because remember, again, in case number two, everything is tar. You just have a piece of chatas meat that got mixed in, or a piece of lechem aponim bread that got mixed in. There's no need to rely on the laws of bittul. Just simply give it to a Kohen. Now, Rabbi, say, the reason we brought this out, I'm just giving you this background, because three quarters of today's daf is going to be speaking about this braisa. The reason we brought this down is because this seemed to pose a kasha on Reish Lakish. Because Reish Lakish is of the opinion who holds Kol Shadarko Limnos, that anything that is sometimes reckoned as an individual entity is not bottle. If that's the case, then why in the first case of the braisa, of the chaticha, the piece of tamea chatos meat that gets mixed in with the pieces of tahora chatos meat, according to Reish Lakish, the piece of tamea chatos meat should not be bottle. Yet the braisa said that what? That it is bottle. So that's the kasha on Reish Lakish. So the way we answered that question was benimucha, that the case over here is where the piece of tamea chatos meat dissolved. It dissolved in the mixture. Therefore, it's no longer, quote-unquote, in existence in a whole form. And that's where Reish Lakish will say it's batal. Parenthetically, the Gemara brought in that according to Rabbi Yehuda, the reason why this whole case is not batal is why? Min b'mino in a batal. So let's pick up with that. So, pei beis amad alef, two lines in. Avaloni muchamai. But again, listen, for according to Reish Lakish, if the piece, let's say, of Chatas Tameya did not dissolve, what would be the halacha? Lo sa'ala. Then, according to Reish Lakish, what would you say? That Lamaisa again, the piece of Chatos Tmeya meat that got mixed in with the other pieces of Chatos Tohora, or the piece of Lechem Aponim Tmeya that got mixed in with the piece of Lechem Aponim Tohora, what would be the halacha if it's not dissolved, according to Reish Lakish? It would not be bottle. To which the Gemara says, well, if that's the case, Aditoni Aval Chaticha Shel Chatos Tohora, Shinis Arva Bamea Chaticha Shechulin Tohora. So we'll say, if that's the case, then why did the Braisa need to state the second case? Remember, the second case in the Braisa was, you have a piece of Chatas Tohora that gets mixed in with pieces of Chulin Tohora. The Braisa then said Lo Sala, it's not bottle, which seems to bolster Reish Lakish's opinion, namely that Halacha LeMaisa, when something is Chashuv, that it's sometimes reckoned as its own independent entity, it's not bottle. Why do you have to even bring it in that case? Niflog V'nisne Bididei. Why don't you just simply go ahead and splinter the first case of the Braisa, the Reisha, into two cases, namely how B'Medra Mamurim, when do we say that a piece of Chatas, that a piece of chatas could be batal, b'shini mucha, that's only if it dissolved. Avaloni mucha lo sala. So we'll say, you can essentially condense the brice into one case. When do we say that if a piece of chatas tmeya gets mixed in with chatas tahora, even in 100-to-1 ratio, that the chatas tmeya is batal? When is that true? When what? When it dissolves, when the piece of chatas tmeya dissolves. But it's if the piece of chatas tmeya does not dissolve, then the maisa, it's not batal. Meaning when it's in existence, it's not batal, even if there are 100 pieces of chatas tahora corresponding to it, to which the Gemara says, tahoros pitahoros adivale, because the Tana of the Braisa would rather state a case of tahoros, of two items that are both tar that gets mixed together. Because you must remember, what's the seifa of the Braisa? The seifa of the Braisa is a case of a piece of chatas tahora that gets mixed in with what? With other tar chulin pieces of meat. So the Tana would rather state the case of taros petaros. Why? Look at Rashi. Taros petaros adifale. La'ashmo inon da'af agav dishtein tahoros v'shayach bu bitula tvei. Because even though, again, you might have thought that in the case where they are both tahor, that bitul should apply even more, kamash malon, that the Braisa says that bitul does not apply. Okay. Ulrei shlakish. Reish Lakish, Maishna Reisha, Maishna Seifa. The Rabbi said, according to Reish Lakish, what is the distinction between the first case of the Braisa and the second case of the Braisa? Now, what does that mean? Look at Rashi. Rashi says, Reish Lakish, Maishna Reisha, Maishna Seifa. So he says, Bishlam l'Rabbi Yochanan demuki la bishlema Seifa kevan dehevsed muatu. Lo mevatlinan chaticha shlema hoil v'darko limnos. Va'af agav d'Rabbi Yochanan eagle the truma. Bottle bechulin de kamahadir leish lakish vaniya valo anishan mechlad de mode be eagle de bottle mishum hefsed muat bechaticha mode diavino kul lekoin hovihu gufadarai so lo chashina lehefsed muat. So we'll say, see, according to Rabbi Yochanan understands, as Rashi just pointed out, that both the Reish and the Seif are talking about the cases of shlema, and Rabbi Yochanan holds that in the first case, again, we could rely on the cases on the laws of Bittel. But in the second case, the Braisa said, we will not rely on the laws of Bittel. Why? Because as we said before, there is no need to rely on the laws of Bittel. Why? Because we'll just simply give it to a Kohen. However, Rashi says, El Reish Lakish Tamar Midi Daraisa Lo Bottle. Ivahachim Yishum Dini Muach Lo Chashiv Su Isir Dile Ubatla Seifa Amailo Saleb. So you will say, but according to Reish Lakish, who holds that in reality, we wouldn't normally rely on the laws of Bittel. The only reason we're relying on it over here is why? Because we say that the piece of chatas meat or lechem aponim dissolved. So why is it that in the seifa, why do we say that the mixture is not batal? In the seifa, the mixture, if we're talking about the case where it's dissolved, the seifa should also be batal. To which the Gemara says, Amar Shisha Bari Dravidi, I'll tell you why. Reisha betumas mashkin derabanon, seifa daraisa. I'll say, listen to this. Because Dravidi will say that according to Reish Lakish, the first case of the Braisa that says that what? That the mixture is batal. That's talking about a situation where how did the piece of chatos, or the piece of lechem apani, become tameh? Through what we call tumas mashkin. And I will say, what's tumas mashkin? Tumas mashkin is if you have a liquid that touches a kli that became tameh, so that liquid becomes tameh. That is tumah d'rabbanan. Mida araisa, mashkin will not become tameh like that. So therefore, Rav Shishi Ben Ravidi says, in the first case, in the first case of the Braisa, we're dealing with Tumah Derabanan. Therefore, what? Therefore, Lemaisa, again, we will rely on the laws of Bittel. However, Seifa Doraisa, but the Seifa, the second part of the Braisa, is dealing with what? Is dealing with Lemaisa, Tumah Doraisa, and in a case of Tumah Doraisa, in the case of Tumah D'Oraisa, we will not employ the laws of Bittel. Look at Rashi, the Seifa, Kodshim Lazar Isa D'Oraisa Hu, Umidi D'Oraisa Min Bamino La Haitana Svirale De Lo Bato Vafilu She'in Darko Limnos. So since in the Seifa we're dealing with Tumah D'Oraisa, and in the case of Tumah D'Oraisa, specifically Kodshim Lazar, you're running the risk of potentially giving sacrificial items to a non-Kohen, Lemais again, therefore will be Machmir and say that there's no Bittel. So the Gemara says the following, Aval Tumas Sheretz Mai. But what would be the halacha with the case of Tumas Sheretz, where let's say again, the chaticha of chatas, the piece of chatas meat came in contact with the Sheretz. What would be the halacha in that case? Lo sala, it would not be batel. So meaning the only reason that in the case number one of the Braisa, where you have the piece of chatas tameya that gets mixed in with the case of chatas tohora, that we say that as long as there are 100 pieces of chatas tohora corresponding to one piece of chatas tameya, that the chatas tameya is batel. Why is that? Why is that? Because it's tumah derabanan. But had it been Tumah D'Oraisa, what's an example of Tumah D'Oraisa? A sheretz touches the piece of chatas, then what would we say in that case, according to Reish Lakish, that it would not be batel. If that's the case, says the Gemara again, at the Tani Seifa, why do you have to then add in the last part of the Braisa? Because remember, I'll say the assumption is that what is the Braisa trying to do? The Braisa is trying to contrast two cases, one in which we apply the laws of Bittel, and one in which we don't apply the laws of Bittel. So the assumption over here is in the Reisha, where we apply the laws of Bittel, why is that? Because we're only dealing with Tumah D'Rabbanan, and in the case of the Seifa, we're dealing with Tumah D'Oraisa. So Gemara says, I don't understand, but you could just subdivide the first case, the Reisha, make it into two cases. How so? At the Tani Seifa, Aval Chaticha Shal Chatas Torah Shenetz Arameh Chaticha Shal Tuhum Tohoros Lo Saleh. Why did you have to add in the Seifa that says, but if a piece of Chatas Torah gets mixed in with 100 pieces of Chulin Tohoros, you don't need that case. Niflog V'lisne B'didei. Subdivide the first case. B'medra Mamurim, when do we say that if a piece of Chatas Tameah gets mixed in with pieces of Chatas Tahora, that what? That the piece of Chatas Tameah could be bottle in a 100-to-1 ratio. When is that? Betumas Mashkin. When is that, Rabosai? Tumas Mashkin. Again, Tumas Mashkin means what? The Mashka becomes Tomei as a result of coming in contact with the Kli, and then the Mashka comes in contact with the piece of Chatas Tameya. That's piece of Chatas. That's Tumah D'Rabbanan. That's when we'll say there's Bittel. Avabe Tumas Sheretz Lo. But in a case of where the piece of Chatas became Tomei through contact with the Sheretz, then what? Then there won't be Bittel. And I can leave out the last case of the Braisa, to which the Gemara once again says, Lo Tahoros Bittahoros Adiflei. Or I should say not low. Low is part of the previous. And this Taurus Pitaurus La Adiflay, to which the Gemara and same answer as we gave before, that the Tana of the Braisa likes to add in this case of Tahar mixtures with tar items getting mixed in, because there is a greater novelty in that case, because that would normally be a case where you would think we would more easily apply the laws of Bittel. Kamash Malan, that we do not. Rabba Amar Rabba says, no, there's a different reconciliation. Reisha Isser Lav, Seifa Issakaris. Oh, see, Rabosa, here's the interesting part. When you go ahead and you have the Reisha, what's the case of the Reisha? A piece of Chatas Tameya that gets mixed in with Chatas Tahora, or a piece of what? Lechem Apanim Tahora that gets mixed in, a piece of Lechem Panim Tameya that gets mixed in with Lechem Panim Tahora. So, Rabosa, remember, the greatest exposure you have in that case is what? Is a lav. Because remember, who's the only person consuming that mixture of the Reisha? A Kohen, because remember again, you're dealing with all consecrated items. So a Yisrael is never touching that mixture. So in the Reisha, where at most we're dealing with a lav, look at Rashi for just a moment. Yisrael lav, tumas basar kachem la'ochlo belav, va'basar shiga b'chol tameh. So in the Reisha, we're dealing at most with a lav, then what? Then we will apply the laws of Bittel. However, Rabbo said, what's the case of the Seifa? The case of the Seifa is we have a piece of chatas meat getting mixed in with what? Chulin meat. Or lechem aponim getting mixed in with chulin bread. Now Rabbo said, again, so now, what's the danger over here? Now you're going to have a Yisrael who's potentially partaking of this mixture. And what? And what? Lemais, again, that carries to the potential penalty of Kares, to which the Gemara says, essentially what Rabbi is answering is, in case number one, where your greatest exposure is a lav, the greatest possibility you have of violation is a lav, so that will say that we apply the laws of Bittel. But in the safe way, you run the risk of potentially running into a Kares situation, because Yisrael is going to be partaking of this mixture, therefore what? We will say that the mixture is not bottle. Ay, v'ha rabbahu da'amar, kol b'da'orais aloshna isra'la v'aloshna isra'kares. Ay, but Rabbah is the one who said, that Rabbah will say, whenever we're dealing with isurim da'oraisa, we do not go ahead and distinguish between a lav or a karis, meaning a da'oraisa is always dealt with stringently. If that's the case, it should make no difference to us if one case, if the reisha is in lav and the seifa is karis, either way it's an isur da'oraisa, and should ultimately again cause us to rule stringently, to which the Gemara says, kasha. You know what? That is a good point. So the Gemara says, therefore, Ravash Yamar. Let's be clear what we're trying to do, right? I actually meant to Xerox it so you can look it in front of you all the time. We're dealing with the one Braisa. That's the Braisa Amud Beis. The Reisha, we have a Reisha and a Seifa. In the Reisha, and remember, the Reisha and the Seifa are both themselves comprised of two cases that are really one case. What's the Reisha? Reisha is a piece of Chatas Tameya, sacrificial meat that became Tameh, gets mixed in with 100 parts of Chatas Tohora. Similarly, a piece of Lechem HaPanim Tameya gets mixed in with 100 pieces of Lechem HaPanim Tohora. What does the Braisa rule in that case? Bottle, right? So why have 100 to 1 ratio? That's the ratio. Seifa, I have a piece of tahora, chatas meat, chatas tahora, that gets mixed in with what? 100 pieces of chulin meat. Or a piece of lechem aponim tahora that gets mixed in with 100 pieces of chulin bread. What's the halacha in that case? Everyone agrees, lo sale, it's not bottle. We are trying to figure out what's the distinction between the two cases. So remember, again, that's what we're trying to figure out over here. So the Gemara now floats another suggestion. Ravashi says, Seifa mishum dahavi le davar sheish lamatir. Ravashi says, I'll tell you why in the Seifa it's not bottle. Because Rabosai, in the Seifa, the case over here, is that it's a davar sheish lamatirin. It's an item that will become permanent. Abba said, we already saw this in Maseches Be'ah, if you remember, because this was the famous case of Beit Lashon Adol B'Yamtiv, one of the reasons why it's not permitted, even if it gets mixed in with a mixture of other eggs, is because davar sheish lamatirin. What does this mean? I will say, in general, the laws of Bittul were structured in such a way that when you have a mixture, and there is no way to know what is what in the mixture, so we rely on the laws of majority. So Chazal established that if the quote-unquote prohibited item that's mixed into the mixture is something that will become permitted at a later date, then what? There's no reason to rely on the laws of Bittul. Essentially, this goes to a much more fundamental machlokas in the laws of Bittul. It's actually a fundamental dispute between the Rush and the Rashba about how to understand the laws of Bittul. Are the laws of Bittul essentially a bidi'evet accommodation, or are they a lechatchila beir, lechatchila clarification of facts? So what the Gemara essentially says is like this: Bittul is something that we rely on when there is no other way to resolve doubt. But if the doubt will be resolved, how? Through the simple passage of time, then there is no reason to rely on Bittul. So now the Gemara is suggesting over here, Rav Ashi is suggesting, that in the second case of the Braisa of the Seifa, the reason we don't rely on Bittul is because it's a davar sheish lamatir, and it'll become permitted at a later time. So the Gemara says, v'chol davar sheish lamatir, afilu be'elef lo batal, and any davar sheish lamatir, anything will become permitted at a later time, is not batal, even in a ratio of 1,000 to 1. So the Gemara says, 1 second, that doesn't make any sense. V'hot Rav Ashi bedusahi. This statement of Rav Ashi, it's a fake, right? Bedusa literally means it's a mistake. It's a mistake. Meaning, Rav Ashi, now they're not necessarily, the Lav Dafka, they're saying that Rav Ashi is mistaken. What they're saying is perhaps somebody is quoting Rav Ashi. Something got mixed up here. It doesn't make sense. Why? So the Gemara says, what do you mean it's a davar sheish lamatirin? Leman, who are you talking to? Ila Kohen. Mishra Shari. So Rav Ashi, remember, if you're talking about a Kohen, so is this mixture permitted to a Kohen? When? Now. So it's not a davar sheish lamatir, meaning if it's a kohen, the mixture is permitted right now. Because the Gemara will say, this is the seifa. In the seifa, you have, again, chatas getting mixed in with regular meat. If I'm a kohen, I can eat whatever I want. Right? If it's lechem aponim getting mixed in with chulin bread, I can eat it right now. So for a kohen, we'll say davar sheish lamatir means something that is prohibited now, but it will become permitted at a later time. So a kohen is permitted now. And on the other hand, ili yisrael, and if you're talking about a yisrael, then what? Liolam asr. We'll say yisrael is never going to be able to eat that mixture. Why? Because for a yisrael, again, a yisrael can't eat lechem aponim, yisrael can't eat chatas meat. So what do you mean davar sheish lamatir? Rather, therefore, the Gemara says, bedusahi. Rather, again, Ravashi's statement must be mistaken. So we'll say, this ends the discussion of the Braisa. So we see again, as a result of these conversations, we have a number of different ways of resolving this particular Braisa. Either, again, it could be that the Reisha is talking about a Tumah d'Oraisa, and the Seifa is talking about a Tumah d'Rabbanan. That seems to be, or the other possibility is that the Reisha is talking about a lav, and the Seifa is talking about what? An Isser Kares. But again, as we pointed out, each of these explanations have their Achilles heel, so to speak. So the Gemara goes weiter. V'sav Rabbi Yochanan Shrum b'zman hazeh d'oraisa. And Rabbi, remember how this all got started? This all got started on Amud Aleph. Pei Aleph, Amud Aleph, in the case of the eagle d'veila, the case of pressed figs of Truma that gets mixed in. And Rabbi Yochanan said it's bottle, because under the assumption that Truma b'zman hazeh, Rabbi Yochanan said it's not bottle, because Truma b'zman hazeh is d'oraisa. Right? Ultimately, again, the Gemara questions that. Does Rabbi Yochanan really hold that Truma b'zman hazeh is d'oraisa? Does he really hold that present-day Truma is biblical? I v'hatanya, we learned, I will say another interesting case. Shtei kupos, acha shalchulin v'acha shalchulin. I will say, listen to this case. I have two baskets of food. One is a basket of Truma, it's marked, and right marked, it's Truma, and one is a basket of chulin. Okay, now watch this. V'lifneihem, shtei sin. So again, I have two barrels, one of Truma, one of Chulin, both clearly marked. In front of those baskets, I have two smaller baskets, one of Chulin and one of Truma. And what happens? V'naflu elu b'soch elu. And I will say, what happens? The two smaller baskets were emptied into the larger baskets. So what's the halacha? So v'naflu elu b'soch elu, hari elu mutarim. Right? Hari Elu Mutarim. So each, the larger baskets of Truma and Chulin are both permitted. Why? Sha'ani Omer, Truma L'soch Truma Nafla, V'chulin B'soch Chulin Naflu. I will say, this is very interesting. This is going to be, we're going to call this the Sha'ani Omer principle. The Sha'ani Omer principle, it's the famous Sha'ani Omer principle, right? The Sha'ani Omer principle says like this, that if I have two baskets, one of Truma, one of Chulin, and two smaller receptacles that each contain Truma and Chulin, and now somebody dumps the smaller ones into the larger ones, and dumps is not a nice word, empties. Someone empties the smaller baskets into the larger ones, I could assume that what? That the chulin was emptied into the chulin, and the truma was emptied into the truma, and there's no problems. That's the Sha'ani Omer principle. V'om Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish says, that's fine. V'hu sherabu chulin ala truma. So we'll say, look at Rashi. Rashi says, V'hu sherabu chulin shebekupas chulin ala truma shebesa'a truma. Hilchach talinar b'sha'ani omer chulin l'sol chulin naflu. Di'i nami havi ipcha v'nafla sa'a truma b'kupas. So we'll listen to this. Reish Lakish says, yes, I agree to that principle, as long as what? As long as there's a backup safety measure. What's the backup safety measure? That there is 100 times chulin to the amount of truma in the small basket. Because we're mostly, remember, what's the greatest danger over here? The greatest danger is that somebody took the smaller receptacle of truma and emptied it into the larger receptacle of chulin. So Reish Lakish says, listen, I agree to the Sha'ani Omer principle. And the Sha'ani Omer principle is that we assume truma was emptied into truma, chulin was emptied into truma, as long as you have a backup safety, which is what? There is 100 times more chulin in the larger basket than the small amount of chulin in the smaller receptacle. Who needs you so badly? I'm just not telling you learning. Right? So this is the backup safety measure. So as long as Lemaisa, so again, this is very interesting. Reish Lakish says that again, halacha Lemaisa, as long as I could say Sha'ani Omer, as long as there is also 100 times more truma in the larger basket than the small amount of chulin in the smaller basket. Rabbi Yochanan says, no. Afa pi shelo rabu chulin ala truma. Rabbi Yochanan, on the other hand, says, no, not true. Rabbi Yochanan says, you don't even need it. You don't even need a rov. So essentially, Rabbi Yochanan is a purist. He believes in the pure form of the Sha'ani Omer principle. And Sha'ani Omer principle says what? Chulin went into chulin, truma went into truma. And even if there is not 100 times more truma in the larger basket than the small amount, chulin, in the larger basket than the small amount of truma that was mixed in, it's still okay. Says the Gemara. Now, Rabbi, let's analyze this.
Is Reish Lakish relying on the rov, or
No, Reish Lakish is not relying on the rov. Reish Lakish is saying that Lamaisa, again, I believe in Sha'ani Omer, But this is my insurance policy. It's my insurance policy. Now we'll see. So you're saying, well, that doesn't make sense. He's relying on the rope. We'll see where it comes up. So the Gemara says the following. I'm Reish Lakish. So I'm sorry. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Avot. So Bishlam the Reish Lakish Kasar Bedira Banan Amiri Buyahu Diba Inon. So we'll say, according to Reish Lakish, it sounds like again he requires even a Dira Banan. He requires the rope. Now we'll see if that's the case. Then like what Moshe is saying is Reish Lakish is not relying on Shani Omer at all. He's just simply relying on rope. We'll clarify that a little bit more. But for now, our purpose is, the Gemara is saying, according to Reish Lakish, he says that even by Truma Dirabanan, even by Truma, because again, remember, Reish Lakish will say that Truma Bizman Azez Dirabanan. So the novelty of Reish Lakish's opinion is that what? I might have thought that because Truma is Dirabanan, I could just rely on the Sha'ani Omer principle, Kamashon, that even by Truma Dirabanan, you need what? You need a roof. However, El Rabbi Yochanan Kasha, but Rabbi Yochanan, according to Rabbi Yochanan, it's a Kasha, because after Rabbi Yochanan said on Pe Aleph Amud Aleph, what did Rabbi Yochanan say? Just yesterday, what did Rabbi Yochanan teach us? Mamish just yesterday. He said, Trumiz Bazman Azez Doraisa. If Trumiz Man Azez Doraisa, then what? Then what? You should not be able to simply rely on the Sha'ani Omer principle. Meaning, I will say, if Reish Lakish holds that Shuma Bizman Azez Dirabanan says, no, you can't just rely on Sha'ani Omer. You also need to have a rov to back that up. So, of course, Rabbi Yochanan, who holds that Shuma Bizman Azez Doraisa, he should certainly require a rov of Chulin. A rov of Chulin. Remember, the larger basket, the larger subject of Chulin should have to have 100 times more to the potential small amount of truma that fell in. And yet, he doesn't say that. And yet, Rabbi Yochanan just said two lines above, that's what? Even if there's not a rov of chulin, you can still rely on Shani Omer. To which the Gemara says, no, Rabbi Yochanan will say, calm down. Hot money. This is not my opinion over here that I'm reflecting in this brisa, but rather when I made this statement, I am the mouthpiece for the Rabbanon. Hot money, Rabbanon he. This is the opinion of the Rabbanon. However, Amud Beis, Va'ana. But you ask Rabbi Yochanan, you want to know what I hold? You want to know what my shita is? Rabbi Yossi. I hold like Rabbi Yossi. So we'll say, remember, this is not an uncommon thing, where sometimes, again, you'll have a Tana who will make a statement, and he's not stating his own shita, but rather he's reflecting the shita of another. So when I see over here, that in this case over here, that Lamaisa Rabosai, when I have the two large receptacles and the two smaller amounts of Truma and Chulim getting mixed in. Rabbi Yochanan says, you don't need a rove, because we assume that Chum went into Chum, Chulim went into Chum. That's not my shita, right? That's the shita of the Rabbanon. Me, I hold like Rabbi Yossi. What does Rabbi Yossi say? Disanya b'seder olam, because we learned in seder olam, asher yarshu avosecha v'rishta. So we'll say, listen to this. So the pasuk says, "Ve'viyacha Hashem lokecha el haaretz." So Hakadosh Baruch Hu will bring you to the land Eretz Yisrael, asher yarshu avosecha, that your forefathers inherited, v'yirishta, and you will inherit it as well. To which the Gemara dash Rabbi Yossi darshins, Yerusha rishona ushniya yesh lahen, ushlishes ein lahen. Rabbi say, how many inheritances is the Torah making reference to over here? Two. One that was done by the forefathers, one that was done by the sons, and yet there is no mention of a third Yerusha. Rabbi say, listen to how fascinating this is. Look at Rashi, Yerusha rishona. When was the first Yerusha? Bimei Yehoshua havia Yerusha. V'chein shniyot bimei Ezra kishagalu galus rishona batla kiddush hasar. So Rabbi said, listen to this. Here's what so Yehoshua conquers the land. That's kiddusha rishona. Then again, that kiddush extends until when? The end of the first temple era. Beis Hamikdash is destroyed. We are exiled by the Babylonians. And what happens? Then, 70 years later, Ezra comes back again and re-sanctifies the land. That's Kedusha Rishona, Kedusha Shnia, but yet what? Rashi's Shlishis Ein Lahem Kilomar, Loboy Lemehadar Umirs Dirusha Omedesi, Vashmoir and Haikrad Lobotla Kedusha Arts Begalos Titus. Rabosai, listen to how beautiful this is. So, what does the Gemara teach us? What does this Drasha teach us? That Rabosai, again, and this is such a heartening idea, that even when the second Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, the Kedusha of the land is still there. The Kedusha, and I will say, now why is this important? Because if the Kedusha of the land is still intact, despite the fact that Beis HaMikdash was destroyed and we were exiled, what does that tell you? That Truma Bizman Azeh is still Doraisa. Now, Bosse, obviously you understand that a statement, this concept, first of all, is major ideas. Because first of all, what it says, the interesting part about this is, according to this opinion, when Mashiach, Emir Hashem, comes Bekarov, Mashiach, there will not have to be another Yerusha Sa'aretz. There will not have to be another sanctification of the land because the land is already sanctified. And obviously, you understand a statement like this has major halachic ramifications. First of all, so again, in Yonim de Yoma, it has ramifications for Shemitah. Because Rabbosai, again, for example, many of the mechanisms many of the mechanisms in place that allow Jewish farming to take place to a certain degree, whether it's like heter mechira, rely on the fact that, let's say, Shemitah b'zman hazeh is dirabanan. So again, that has major ramifications in terms of how you view Kiddush HaSa'aretz, Shumas and Maisras, which are still done in Eretz Yisrael today. Again, how does really, so the point, Rabbi, so here, have, again, much bigger sugya not for today, but Rabbi Yochanan is saying, you think that that was my opinion that I mentioned before, that was dirabanan. Me, I hold like Rabbi Yossi, that Kiddush HaSa'aretz is still intact, and therefore Truma b'zman hazeh is still da'oraisa. He goes on, Va'am Rabbi Yochanan, man tana seder olam, who is the opinion in this price mentioned in seder olam? Seder olam is a collection of rabbinic teachings, Rabbi Yossi. So it's Rabbi Yossi, and I hold like Rabbi Yossi. So we'll say again, so Rabbi Yochanan still is true to his shita that Truma b'zman hazeh is da'oraisa, and the price does not contradict it, because that was not Rabbi Yochanan espousing his own opinion, but rather the opinion of the Rabbanan. The Gemara goes back. We'll say it's amazing Gemaras, no? Thanks. All right. Help a brother out. All right. So the Gemara says the following. So the Gemara goes weiter. The Gemara says, Va'am Rabbi Yochanan. Fine. V'sar Rabbi Yochanan b'dirabanan lo ba'in ribuya. So I'll say, now that what you've established is, does Rabbi Yochanan really hold that in a dirabanan you wouldn't require rov? Now, I'll say, remember, so what we've established is that according to Rabbi Yochanan, he holds Truma b'zman hazeh as doraisa, which means to be mevatel Truma b'zman hazeh, you would still require a rov. Remember, again, I want to be clear, rov doesn't always mean majority, right? Rov just means whatever the amount necessary for the bittel. So, for example, by Truma, it's a 100-to-1 ratio. So now what we infer from Yochanan's statement is, it's only by doraisas that you would require a rov, but does Rabbi Yochanan hold that by dirabanan you would not require a robe? Look at Rashi. V'sav Rabbi Yochanan kasak adaitcha haide mosif time Rabbi Yochanan la mishum d'samech asha'ani omer ele mishum d'i havi nami ipcha lo ichbaslan d'lo ba'inu ribuye d'rabanan ele michi yirav batalai. So we'll say, what we infer from the previous brisa is that by d'rabanan Rabbi Yochanan doesn't require a robe. Is that true? Now what does that mean if you don't require a rov? So what does that mean? That if I have an Issa D'Rabbanan that gets mixed into something, then how is it batal? What does it mean if you don't require a rov? So what require is, as long as you don't have a majority of Issa, meaning even if it's just 50-50, the D'Rabbanan will still be batal. So is that really true? But I've also listened to this case. This is another great case. Mikvah, these cases are just interesting because like they're so random. They're so random. But it's like pulling from all over Shas, and you're just seeing these fast, like a roller coaster. He's Vahatanan, Mikvah Shayeshba are Ba'im Samikhvan. So let's say you have a mikvah with exactly 40 sa'ah. Remember, 40 sa'ah is the minimum measurement for a mikvah. So you have a mikvah that has the bare minimum measurements. That's 40 sa'ah, exact. Mikhvanas means exact. Now watch this. It's interesting. Nasan sa'ah. V'natalsa. So we'll say, let's say a guy comes along and he puts in a sa'ah. Rashi says gabi sharmashkin. I will say there's going to be a fundamental machlokes Rashi Tosis over here, which we're not going to get into, about what exactly you are inserting into this mikvah. Let's assume for a moment that you're putting in mayim shuvim. So mayim shuvim means what? Drawn water. Remember, a mikvah has to be rainwater. So what do? I have a mikvah 40 sa'ah, and I go ahead. I go to my Poland Spring water. Dispenser, good. I take a sa'a of water and I pour it into the mikvah. The truth is, it doesn't have to be that. It could also be I take apple juice and I put it into anything that's not kosher for a mikvah. Then I will say, don't ask why. Right? It's December 25th. I'm off from work. Right? I'm trying. It's a long time between the time that daf ends and 4:35 for mincha. So I decide I go to the mikvah and it's 40 sa'a exactly. I pour an extra sa'a. Now watch this. What do I do right afterwards? I then take out a sa'a. Okay, so I pour in a saw and I take out a saw. What's that lacha? The mikvah's kosher. Now, why is the mikvah kosher in such a situation like that? Look at Rashi. Nasa and Sav and Natal saw. Gabi Sharmashkim will make payro. So that's why Rashi adds in over here Sharmashkim, fruit juices. Betamat Sheikh Mizkam, Mizakh Mikvos, Ashmin Inon. The Afa gav the Chazar and Natal. Now I go back and I take out a saw afterwards. The Ikala Mehmahar Chazar and Mikvah. Shah saw azos a mashli Musa. She in Royal Mikvah. So we'll say, now watch this. If the mikvah had 40 saw, I just poured in a saw of apple juice or of Poland spring water. It doesn't make a difference. And then what happens? I then remove a sa'ah from the mikvah. I would say that maybe again now the mikvah is pasul. Why? Because again, I no longer what? I no longer have 40 sa'ah of rainwater. Afilu hachi kasher. Nevertheless, the mikvah is kasher. Why? Demechi yavu legabe batale. Because they're both saying, remember what happens? As soon as you go ahead and you pour in that sa'ah of apple juice or of Poland spring water, then what? It's bittul. Rabbi said, once it's bittul, oh, what is bittul do? Now, Rabbi said, this is another interesting idea by bittul, by the way, about what the mechanics of bittul are. Let's assume for now the mechanics of bittul are that when you pour something into that mixture, so the majority overtakes the identity of the minority, which means that now I don't have 40 saw of water and one saw of apple juice. Rather, what do I have? 41 saw of water. 41 saw of water. Well, I'll tell you, by the way, just as an aside, where this becomes very interesting. You know, midah raisa, we say chai b'trei bottle. Let's say you have three hot dogs. You know, two kosher hot dogs and one, ballpark. I was going to say Hebrew from Hebrew National. Okay, right? Ballpark, right? I have one ballpark. So I'll say, so what happens? Now I have three hot dogs. So what do we say? Midah raisa, what's the halacha? It's bottle. Now what's the shayla? Can you eat all three? Can you eat all three? Fundamental machlokes about the mechanics of bittul. So there are opinions that say yes, because what bittul does, it's the iser is nishapech lihiyo setu. Now don't try this at home, right? Because again, remember, midah oraisa. I see a lot of eyes are lighting up, right? So again, midah oraisa to midah rabbanon, we will not allow that. But there are opinions that say you could eat all three hot dogs, because lemaisa again, the minority item, its identity changes to the majority. The majority changes the identity of all of the parts. You'd be able to eat all three. The Rashba and others say no, you can't eat all three. I'll tell you what you can do. You could eat one, because you could assume that's from the majority. You could eat the second one, because you could assume it's the majority. You can't eat the third one, right? At the end of the day, the third one, you'll have to, because what are you going to say? Oh, I already ate it. You know, I already ate the treif one, so I might as well just, so that you can't say. So we'll say, now, this is important for this case as well, because what happens? What the Gemara is saying over here is, once you pour in the additional sa'ah of water, then or mayin shuvim, or mashkin, whatever it is, it doesn't make a difference, it becomes bottled too. The mikvah itself, and therefore, even if you remove a saw of water afterwards, it's okay, because the mikvah is still considered to have 40 saw of water. Let's just finish that Rashi. Rashi says, "Vahavalu arbaim v'chad." Therefore, when you pour in that water to the mikvah now becomes a 41 saw mikvah of kosher water. Therefore, again, kulan ruyin v'chi shakel chad saw pashu arbaim. So therefore, when you remove one, it's fine. Now let's go on to the Gemara. V'am Rabbi Yehuda bar Shila, Am Rabbi Asi, Am Rabbi Yochanan. Ad rubo. I will say, listen to this. Now comes on Rabbi Yehuda bar Shila and says, the truth is, on Rabbi Yochanan, you could do this even for the majority. Now I will say, now what does that mean? So the Gemara says, my love dinishtaye rubo. So are you telling me then that lemaisa, as long as you have, you know, 19 point whatever, or you know, let's call it 20 saw. No. 20.1, right? 20.1 saw that you could keep on. Now, boss, remember, the case over here is, obviously, the mikvah always has to have 40 saw of water. But are you telling me then that essentially what I could keep doing is going ahead and adding in, taking out, adding in, taking out, adding in, taking out, and I could keep doing that to the point where, again, there's only 20.1 saw of water and it should still be okay? To which the Gemara says, my love, dinishtaya rubo. So therefore, the Gemara says, and therefore, we'll say, now, what does that prove? That would prove that you still always have to maintain a what? A majority of water. Now, majority of kosher water. And I will say, the chap behind that would be, now, why is this a kasha on Rabbi Yehuda? Because Rabbi Yehuda was saying, Rabbi Yochanan. Because now what this is showing is, I will say, the psul of mayim shuvim of drawn water is a psul derabanan. And yet, what do you see? That even by a psul derabanan, you still have to what? You still have to maintain a majority. So this would be a kasha on Rabbi Yochanan, because Rabbi Yochanan seemed to say that by yisrei derabanan, you don't even need a real rov, as long as it's equal. To which the Gemara says, lo nishkal rubo. To which the Gemara says, no, the way that Rabbi Yochanan would understand that case is you could keep doing this as long as what? As long as you don't take out a majority of the kosher water, meaning that you're okay with this process, but you can't go to 19. So as long as you keep it at exactly 20, as long as you always maintain that original 20 of original mikvah water, you're going to be okay. So again, so Rabbi Yochanan is able to interpret this case to align with his sheet as well. Look at Rashi for just a moment. My love, dinishtaye rubo, ad yutes saw yachalasos came. You could keep doing this process of putting in and taking out until 19 sa'ah. About fate lo deba'ina dene havi ruba megishamim. Ama afagav the post the psul shiva drabon and bayi ruba kasha. So both say the Gemara wanted to bring down this brisa as a kasha on Rabbi Yochanan that you still have to maintain a majority even by an isa drabon. Kamash on Rabbi Yochanan will say no. The truth is you don't need a majority. You just can't what? You just can't make the mikvah water into a minority. But you could even do this, and as long as it's exactly 20-20, and it's going to be okay. Fine. Do the Gemara goes on. Vibaisim. And the other possibility is shiny hacha. Rabbi say it could be that now the Gemara is going back to the cases of the baskets, the large baskets of truma and chulin. That case could be different. Why? Deika lameimar shani omer. So Rabbi say now the Gemara is looking at Rashi. Vibaisim. Liolam ba'ino ribui drabanan. No, it could be that even Rabbi Yochanan will agree that what? That lamaisi you need a rov even by isirei drabanan. You need a rov by daraisas. You need a rov by drabanans. I. So what's different about the large cases? So Rabbi say remember. Going back, so why is it that Rabbi Yochanan did not require a rov? See, remember, Rabbi said, let's go back to the case of the Braisa. You had two large baskets, one of Truma, one of Chulin, and two smaller receptacles, one with Truma, one with Chulin. And then what happens? Someone comes along and empties the smaller one into the larger ones. So remember again, Reish Lakish said, you need a rov. You need a rov in the Truma basket, in the large Truma receptacle, in order to be able to eat it. As Reish Lakish says, I can't be totally sure that what? That Lamaisa, again, that the chulin, that the truma was emptied into the truma and the chulin was emptied into the chulin. Rabbi Yochanan, on the other hand, says, no, you don't need a rov. Why? Shani Omer. So the Gemara wants to suggest like this, that it could be, normally Rabbi Yochanan will agree that Lamaisa, you need a rov both for Isurei Derabanan as well as for what? As well as for Isurei Deoraisa. What's different in this case? So Rabbi Yochanan agrees to this Sha'ani Omer principle. And the Sha'ani Omer principle says that we make the assumption that, remember, everything is marked. Everything is marked. So therefore, there's nothing wrong with relying on the assumption that what? Sha'ani Omer, that the Chulin was emptied into the Chulin, and the Truma was emptied into the Chulin. But this case is not a raya for what Rabbi Yochanan would hold in other cases. So again, the maskana of the Gemara is that really Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish normally agree that you need a rov both for Isirei Derabanan as well as for Isirei Deoraisa. This case of the Truma and Chulin, large baskets and smaller receptacles, is different. Why? Because Rabbi Yochanan says we can make the assumption that Truma was emptied into Truma, Chulin was emptied into Chulin. Fine. Rabbi Yochanan, the Gemara goes weiter. Tanan, androgynous nose, Tani. Excuse me, the Gemara is like this. Androgynous nose, Tani im nasa. So let's listen to this. Remember, now we're going to talk a little bit about the androgynous. The androgynous is the individual of both male and female sexual organs. So remember, again, what did the Mishnah say? The Mishnah said that an androgynous is permitted to marry a woman. Right? Androgynous nose avalo nisa. An androgynous, if he marries a woman, it's a bona fide kiddushin. But what? An androgynous cannot be taken in marriage by another man. By another man. Now the assumption that the Mishnah is teaching me is that the androgynous has a din of what? Has a din of a man. And therefore lemaisa, again, he can marry a woman, but he cannot be taken in marriage like by another man. To which the Gemara says over here, tanan androgynous, I'll say tane, tani im nasa. Now I'll say, here's what's interesting. When the Mishnah says androgynous nose, nose is what? A lashon of lechatchila. That the Mishnah is saying an androgynous lechatchila can marry a woman. Now the Gemara says, no, don't say no, say rather read it as what? Androgynous im nasa. If he married. If he married means what? A lashon of bidyeved. Ex post facto. If he did it, it works. The Gemara says, but 1 second, that's not what it says. Va no se katani, but that's not what it says. The Mishnah says, no se, which sounds like what? Lechatchila is permitted to do this. The Gemara says, ay ula ta'amech, my aval lo nisa. So the Gemara says again, but what is Elamai Nisa Di'eved? No Seinami Di'eved. Gemara says, but 1 second, but look at the rest of that phrase. What did the rest of the phrase say? It says, androgynous no se, aval lo nisa. So we'll say, what does aval lo nisa mean? He may not be taken in marriage by another man. Now, is that lechatchila b'di'eved? So the truth is, that's lechatchila. In the same way that lo nisa is lechatchila, therefore what? The same way, avalo nisa elamai nisa di'eved, just like nisa means that another man can't marry him even b'di'eved, therefore what? No se nami di'eved. Sote, when it says no se also means what Rabbo say? No se means that he can't get married l'chatchila, but b'di'eved it works. In other words, what the Gemara is suggesting is the Mishnah is talking about two b'di'eved cases, that just like if he's taken by another man in marriage, it doesn't work b'di'eved, so to the first statement, there's also b'di'eved. He can marry a woman, how? B'di'eved aval lechatchila no. To which the Gemara says, Amri lo no se lechatchila mashma. To which the Gemara says, I'm sorry, I skipped over here. Elamai nisa di'eved no se nami di'eved. Amri lo no se lechatchila mashma. Aval lo nisa di'eved nami lo. Vahami diktani seifa. Rabbi Eliezer Omer androgynous chayavin alav skila kizachar. Mechlal de tanakama misapkile. Suppose, here's the problem. If you look at the end of the Mishnah said, Rabbi Eliezer says, that an androgynous, if a man has relations with an androgynous, then what? That's Mishkav Zarcha, that's homosexuality, and he is Chayiv Skila for that. And I will say, the fact that Rabbi Eliezer makes such a definitive statement indicates to us what? That the Tanakhama, perhaps, was not as clear on this as Rabbi Eliezer was, to which the Gemara says no. Bein Lamar, Mifshat Pashitlay. The truth is, both according to Rabbi Eliezer as well as according to the Tanakhama, everyone agrees that what? Everyone agrees that an androgynous is a zachar. Everyone agrees on that. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, no, not yet, I'm sorry. But rather, Ika ben Ayav, Rabbi say, what is the point of contention? So if everyone agrees that an androgynous is what? Is a zachar. So now, then what? I understand that he could go ahead and he can marry a woman. Even what? Even what? Even lechatchila. And I understand that he cannot be taken by another man in marriage. Even what? Even b'di'evit. So what is the point of contention? Skila mishnei makamos. Rabbi say, the shayla is, let's say a man has relations with an androgynous. So there are two ways that a man can have relations with an androgynous. Either again, anally, like a zachar, or vaginally, like a nekeva. So how is he chayiv? When is he chayiv for relations with an androgynous? Demar savar chayav and alav skila mishnei makomos. One opinion holds that what? One opinion, and this is the Tanakamo. Holds that you are chayiv for relations with an androgynous, for homosexual relations, no matter what? No matter how you have relations with him. Whether you have relations with him, again, like Mishkav Zachar, anally, or like a Nekeva, you're going to be chayiv either way. Because again, he has the din of a man. And the chiddush over there is what? Even if you have relations with him, in a way that resembles like a Nekeva, you're still chayiv for homosexuality. Umar Sarvadoza says, no, kizachar. Then androgynous is a zachar, but you're only chai for mishkav zachar if what? If you have relations with him like you would have relations with a zachar. So Rabbi Say, the Gemara says, so Rabbi Say, actually, no, we'll stop over here. We'll stop with Amar Rav. So Rabbi Say, we're ending off, so now what we've established, we're ending off on a high note over here. Right? So again, a little bit of a weird way to end off, but again, but Lemaisa, so here's what everybody agrees with. Everybody agrees that an androgynous is a zachar. Everyone is going to agree, and therefore, again, he can marry a woman lechatchila, cannot be taken by another man as a wife, so to speak, even b'di'evet. The fundamental machlokis, and everyone agrees that if you have, what's the point of contention? The point of contention is, in what way does one violate Mishkav Zachar with an androgynous? So the Tanakhama will say, whatever form of relations you have with the androgynous, that is an issue of Mishkav Zachar. Rabbi Lezer says, no, it's only if you're boel him, only if you have relations with him. Like a Zachar, are you chayiv a Mishkav Zachar? But if you had relations with him like in a Keva, that might still be usher for other reasons as we'll discuss, but it will not be Mishkav Zachar. All right, we'll pick up over here, Mirtz Hashem, tomorrow. Where did the conversation go? The Mishnah, because the Mishnah discusses androgynous. So the Gemara is just moving on in the Mishnah. Correct. Finished up with the Chazakas and the Rov and the Trumas. Back to. So I don't know what does the Olam want to do. Officially, it's on the schedule as a regular schedule.